Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Where am I? What planet is this?
It is called Earth.
Earth? No, I left Earth 8 months ago.
8 months ago? Impossible. No one has left or returned to Earth in almost 200 years.
I did. 8 months ago. February 3rd, 1963.
Mark.
Yes?
I heard a rumor that any restaurant that's worth its salt, you should be able to go into and totally not have a menu. You should be able to feel comfortable sitting down in a restaurant, and when they come up to serve you, you should be able to ask them what it is that they serve and be able to order from your waitress or hostess without actually having to look at the menu.
You probably could here.
Yeah. So restaurants that are valuable have to hire people that are intelligent enough and smart enough to be able to memorize the main courses of the menu.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because anyone who's been there for a while would, because people are always asking them what they think about the so-and-so.
Right, yeah.
Who cares? Why would I care what some other human being wants and likes on the menu? Why would I possibly care? I'm sure the chef has pride to make everything with good quality in a good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it possibly matter what this random person, the wait person, likes or doesn't like?
Yeah, I should be able to walk into a restaurant and be able to order a hamburger regardless of whether they serve hamburgers or not, right? If the chef is worth his salt, he's not going to follow a formula. He's going to be able to whip up something that's satisfying.
Although, in the United States, salt isn't really worth that much. So being worth your weight in salt isn't really very expensive.
Well, at one point it was monetary. It had monetary value.
I know, but not here.
Oh, okay. So, greetings everybody. My name is Wes.
And I'm the world famous Mark Burnet.
And together we form Slurpcast, which is a weekly podcast where we get together and talk tech and slurp our food, like Mark is doing right there.
Right. And so we specialize, although not always, in talking about old technology and new technology, try to relate them together, like the latest thing that just came out and somehow relate it to something 500 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, my idea is that there is generally the new technology products that come out always have some sort of original idea that has occurred in the past. In other words, it's been thought up already in just maybe a different time where the technology wasn't quite available yet.
Right.
And sometimes, amazingly enough, ideas that are quite popular now actually were invented a long time ago.
Right.
But it's never caught on.
Yeah. Like, for example, the car.
Twitter.
The car is really the same as a horse. And Twitter is really the same as birds flying around in the sky making noises. And birds have been doing that for millions of years, right?
What?
And
what? Anyway.
Or 5,000 years if you're Peter Pimple. He believes the Earth started 5,000 years ago.
Really?
He's one of those people.
Peter Pimple?
And the Earth is flat. It doesn't spin. The universe spins around us and stuff.
Okay.
Peter Pimple believes that.
Nice. I put too much butter on my cornbread.
Okay.
Anyway. So.
And your point is? And Mark always says, and your point is?
My point is to me, myself, and I.
So we're in Back 40 Texas Barbecue in Pleasant Hill, California.
Is there a Pleasant Hill?
It's just the name of a bar station. Does it exist? Maybe it doesn't really exist as a town.
There's one hill that's Pleasant.
But is it legally a city? I don't even know what Pleasant Hill is. I just know there's a bus station there. Okay.
Maybe it's just a town. It's really small.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're getting closer and closer to October.
What?
You know, of course, what happens in October.
Is that the end of the world? No, that's 2012.
Right.
Is that...
See? It's so, like...
It's World Famous Mark Burnet's birthday? No. Let's see.
Might be.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
But that's not really important. What's really important is that Windows 7 will be released.
That's true. Okay. But it's exactly like Vista, so what's the point?
It's more stable.
Yeah. Vista's stable enough.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's faster. There's...
Right. Maybe.
Faster at a lower level.
Yeah. for small machines, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, what have you been up to this week?
Nothing exciting. I say, I don't even have that many stories that fit the formula.
Oh, really? I've got a bunch of stuff, but yeah. Nothing major. Well, mm-hmm. We're expecting to have the iPhone version 3.
And the Prom Pre will come out like this week, right?
Mm-hmm. When did they say that they would that they would release the firmware 3.0?
Was I don't know, pretty soon.
I thought it was supposed to be the end of last month. No, like not June, like beginning of June.
I don't know. At this point, people are just still busy beta testing and stuff. It's obviously not ready yet. They just did a change to iTunes. They released the iTunes 8.2.
I got the update.
You shouldn't have if you ever want a jailbreak, because that update breaks the process of jailbreaking. It doesn't hurt your phone if it's already jailbroken, but it prevents you from jailbreaking a new one.
Huh.
But that supposedly is to get ready for firmware 3.0. Like, it might be getting pretty close.
It's good if they release it like on a Friday.
Yeah, I can't update it anyway because of jailbreak reasons. I couldn't possibly update to it right away. Mm. And I'm thinking about getting a new phone, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Even though it might not be jailbreakable for a while, I'll probably wait the line for hours and get the new phone.
Yeah. Well, there's supposed to be, as everybody knows, a new phone that's going to be announced in the next
this week or so, I think.
Yeah.
The rumor is still will be available in the middle of July to actually buy. I don't know.
We're probably going to see the firmware release at the same time that they have the conference.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's usually exciting. But do you think they're going to release both the firmware for the iPhone and the firmware for the Touch separately, or do you think they're going to combine it?
They've been a few days apart before, haven't they?
Yeah, but I think they've actually merged them together so it's all one code base now.
That's pretty possible. Yeah.
So expect when they release it that it'll be for both. Unless it has to do with the fact that Apple wants to charge the Touch users more money.
Oh, they'll charge the $10 again or something? Yeah, okay.
But hopefully they can do that in one release. I don't know.
I was saying, depending on what the new hardware has, I might get it. Because my theory is that because my current iPhone 3G is old enough, mine can run Yellow Snow. It's fully unlockable with Yellow Snow and all that. So my theory is it'll have a better resale value on eBay than the average iPhone 3G. So the upgrade may not cost me very much. Yeah.
So Yellow Snow is
which is SN0W. Oh, great, thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
So Yellow Snow is the jailbreak application that unlocks the SIM, so you can use it for the iPhone with SIM cards of other carriers.
Okay.
Most places. I mean, it's not perfect, but it'll work most places. I already have barbecue sauce, actually. What am I doing?
Well, that one may be better. You have to try it.
Yeah. But this is the one the chef chose for me. That's just some generic bottle sitting on the table.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really. So Yellow Snow only works with one specific modem firmware called the baseband. And it won't work with anything older or newer. It has a very specific version.
Okay.
And my phone is old enough that if I screw up and get the wrong baseband in there, the boot ROM in mine has bugs that it's possible to put the firmware back to that magic version, the old Snowbirds. Whereas newer iPhones, if you weren't really, really, really careful how you did your updates to preserve that baseband version, you can never go back. That's why I say mine is definitely, at this moment, can run Yellow Snow, and I'm just guessing that might be valuable. But whether Yellow Snow will ever work again once 3.0 comes out, the 3.0, at least the beta test versions of it, they're running into a problem that it refuses to talk to old basebands. So the theory is you can probably install 3.0 using jailbreak techniques that would preserve your baseband, but 3.0 might refuse to talk to it.
I see. Interesting. What So if you were to screw up totally and break your phone, you could still, couldn't you reflash the whole thing, including the baseband?
No, on mine maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not wasn't that worried about breaking it. It's really, I've been trying to preserve the baseband for Yellow Snow in case they ever really take a trip overseas. Or,
oh, okay. Then you can go.
Which I don't do that often anyway, so I don't know why I care. But
put in a new SIM.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I already have a GSM, very small GSM unlocked phone I could use overseas anyway, so it's not really that big a deal.
So what do you think about them announcing, the possibility or rumor about them announcing a new carrier?
Verizon? In the United States, the rumor is all about Verizon. Because Verizon just has a much better network than AT&T does for high-speed data and actually working in practice at high speed in different cities and stuff.
Hmm.
You know. So that's why people would like it. But then it definitely would not work overseas, because Verizon is CDMA and it would also work pretty much as GSM. Yeah.
They would have already had to have been working on a CDMA version.
Which they might be secretly. Which the rumor, we don't know.
There was a rumor a long time ago that they would do that.
Right.
So.
Now, on the other hand, the Palm Pre is going to be dedicated for Sprint. That's CDMA only, and the rumor is they're not going to have a GSM version for other countries right now.
Huh.
It's strictly going to be for Sprint.
Well, you could also technically have both in one phone.
Yes, but it gets bigger. The chipsets for the moment are so different, it ends up being bigger, I think, to do that.
That would be interesting if Apple went ahead and did that.
Yeah. That would be nice.
We talked about this in a recent show.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the tiered idea? So, so there's a demand for things like adult material on an iPhone, whether that be content like video that you can buy from iTunes or applications that normally would be refused for, you know, showing breasts or something. What about this idea that you can subscribe in iTunes under your account to a tiered system where you have everything Apple approved, and then you've got another tier. Let's say that everything Apple approved is tier one.
Right.
Everything. And then you have like tier two, which is adult content,
but also approved by Apple.
Yes. And then three, which is completely unapproved by Apple, untested by Apple.
No, see, Apple will never approve that because of their deals with their carriers, because that would break. That would be like jailbreaking.
Yeah,
you know.
So
tier three already exists. It's just called jailbreak. And chances are the new iPhone will be jailbreakable, but not necessarily.
Hmm.
But yeah, your tier two, that is, the rumor is that version three will have an adult flag so that you can choose to accept adult content in your.
Because they're missing out on a lot of money there.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, porn. Mm-hmm. Porn is huge.
But. So we're going to have to update the song. The internet is for porn. We're going to have to update the song.
And iPhones.
The cell network is for porn. The cell network is for porn. That doesn't sound as good.
Not really. It's kind of harder.
Yeah.
All right, so let me jump into some daily history computer quotes.
Okay.
Computer history daily quotes. First one is, I'm turning sideways. The light in here is pretty dim, and I'm getting older. The Haloid Company is founded in 1906 to manufacture and sell photographic paper. Haloid acquires Chester Carlson's xerography license in 1947 and sells the first xerographic copier in 1950.
Okay.
In 1958, the company changes its name to Haloid Xerox, and 3 years later to Xerox Corporation.
Okay.
So they made paper, huh? So this was like...
Yeah, I knew the rest of it. I guess I didn't know that one part of it.
Okay. So copy machines use a specific kind of paper, right? At some point.
No, I think that's just coincidence. But this company, if they were in the copying machine business before, they would have been in the chemical paper copying business. So this coffee machines used to not use plain paper. You had to have chemicals in the in the machine and special chemical paper and stuff.
Right.
So they were into that. That company may have been into that kind of paper.
Okay.
And that's why they got interested in xerography.
Like taking photographs. It's like photographic paper.
Kind of, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I remember in grade school, we used to do dittos. Remember dittos? Like,
sure.
Yeah, and there was like a big drum.
Hal Bernay had one in his house. Hal Bernay was very big into dittos, and he had multicolors because you could buy the thick carbon paper, essentially. You could buy that in multiple colors.
Yeah.
And he would prepare even for his resume, not just for teaching, not just for students. On his official resume that he applied for jobs with, he would print it in multiple colors and stuff.
That is crazy.
I remember
this big drum, and there was this big, very smelly alcohol substance that you had to stick at the bottom of the drum.
Yeah.
And it was like, carbon paper or something, and you would draw what you wanted on the paper, and you stick it on the drum.
Or type it. And,
oh, that's true, yeah.
But you didn't really type directly on the paper. They said it had this very thick kind of carbon paper, very, very, really very similar.
Okay.
And then you had the master paper, which wasn't just a regular sheet of paper. I think it was more plasticky or something than a regular sheet of paper. I forgot what the master was like exactly.
Okay.
But you put the carbon paper-like thing
underneath it.
No, on top of it.
Oh.
And you type on the carbon paper. You type on the back of the carbon paper.
Okay.
And it would leave a thick trail because the carbon paper was so thick and soft.
Kind of on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would leave a big block of carbon wherever you drew it or hit it with a typewriter of whatever color your carbon paper was.
All
right. And I forget the official names. So if you had multiple colors, you could draw part of it with one carbon, part of it with another carbon, all on the same master, and these different colors of carbon paper material would end up on the master.
Right.
Then you'd put the master around a drum.
The drum.
And the machine had like an alcohol sort of solvent in it.
Uh-huh.
So the machine would spin the drum and feed a sheet of paper. It would wet the drum with a solvent kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then press the drum around that sheet of paper that was coming out.
Yeah.
And it would transfer just a little bit of that carbon paper stuff to the sheet of paper. You can make 50 or 100 copies or something. It would start getting fainter and fainter, but you can kind of make copies that way.
And I think there was a company that actually sold pre-made worksheets.
Probably, there was.
With that material.
Yeah. Yes.
That you could then put on the drum and create copies from.
That's correct,
yeah.
So, as I say, Alberni owned one, and he would make his own things for map materials, for school materials when he was teaching, stuff like that. And then he lost a lot of stuff because in the big earthquake down there, he had a lot of bottles of fluid around, and the bottles of fluid broke open and spilled on top of a lot of his equipment and stuff and destroyed a lot of things.
That stuff was really caustic. That was like really strong chemical.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I remember in grade school, I think the kids were not allowed to be around the machine.
Okay. Goddamn government.
Some of us were able to get in and play around with it.
Right, okay. And was there any reason not to let you do it?
It probably had something to do with the chemical.
Yeah.
You ever to take it and start sniffing it or brain cells,
Right.
Anyway.
Or maybe people would use it to make subversive literature.
Ooh,
and talk against the school.
You can make your own, They had stacks of that stuff in the storage room. Yeah. That was one of the kids' favorite places to go is to get into the storage room. You struck gold if you can get into the...
Oh, okay.
If a teacher leaves the door unlocked.
Okay.
Just go in there and get all the pens and paper.
Nowadays, that'd be considered terrorism. They throw you in prison for 10 years or so.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so that made for an interesting little segue.
Uh-huh.
My next story. So this isn't related to tech, but I thought it was kind of funny. I'm reading various different crazy stories that are being published by... let's see, where does this come from? Oh, it comes from a RSS feed called Asylum, which is, I think, a part of Yahoo.
Okay.
Is it true that muscular men have more sex partners but poorer health?
I saw, no, never mind, it wasn't that. I saw one about men and women who get married at 15 years apart in age.
Yeah.
The man lives longer, but the woman doesn't, or something. Anyway, I don't remember. I just heard that on the radio.
If the man is older or something like that?
Yeah.
Makes sense. We drive him into the ground.
Right. Right.
So, basically, the study says that that men who have muscular bodies do have more sex because they're more attractive, but they're less healthy than their slender counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
The study of 5,000 18 to 49-year-old males confirmed that beefcake types do better with the women, but there are other complications that come out of
but maybe it depends
weightlifting
on,
and all the exercise.
But maybe it depends on whether they took drugs or exactly what they ate. And did they stop weightlifting? As they got older, maybe they stopped and before the muscles turned into fat or something? There may be other reasons for that. You know.
Well, it's also, I think, there's also a lot of, like, substances going around that men will take
to
build muscles. And a lot of untested long-term things, like creatine and stuff like that.
If you're doing that,
I mean, all guys who get into muscle building do something. They change their eating habits so that they can...
How is everything?
Oh, great.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, we get into trying to take care of our bodies, not eating as much fat.
Right.
Nobody really takes into consideration that at some point that might be useful to the body.
Well, fat's useful if you have famine years or something, but you know, in our society where you always have enough to eat every year and every season, fat's not that useful, I guess.
So you eat all the time, so your body has no time to store the fat.
Or you
That's one way of doing it.
No, but I'm saying, but it's not useful. Out in nature, fat would be useful to get you through the lean seasons or get you through the winter, get you through a year that has bad weather so you don't have as much food.
Right.
But since we kind of have the same amount of food every year, it's not that useful to have any fat.
Yeah. So how about you? Anything? Mark,
well, I have a health item as my first one.
Wow.
Just going in order here. I say I don't really have anything exciting this week. But there's an article on gummy bear surgery.
Oh, yeah.
So if your gummy bears get sick, you know, how to cut them open and how to cut the legs off of one and glue them onto another one if your legs get broken on one of them or your favorite gummy bear or something, you know. So it has a full details of how to do the surgery and
that's important.
And a bunch of pictures and all the different types of surgery you can do with detailed instructions and pictures and stuff.
That's cool.
So, and we forgot to mention, so if you want to know more about that story, go to slurpcast.com because for every podcast we do, we have a background blog entry where we have a link, you can listen to the recording.
Yep.
And we have the URLs, corrections, additions, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you can, there are threads you can actually start a conversation about the topics of your choice.
Right.
And sometimes people will go in there and actually like counter or have something else to say interesting about one of the articles. So thinking about actually updating the service that we use and going to Squarespace.
Okay,
that
what's
is not
Squarespace?
That's not a plug.
It's
a
what's Squarespace?
Well, it's an easy way. It's actually a web. It's a company you can go to. They have a website where you basically sign up for their service, and they give you the tools to create your own blog. But it's very customizable and very easy to get up and running. And you don't have to worry about load or.
Why not use WordPress like everybody else? So
I know.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Are we really that much better than Blogger, though? Or?
Yeah. Okay. It's pretty cool. You can actually play with some of the tools and the way you customize it. It has a lot of Ajax stuff.
Is it free?
No.
Oh.
It's not free.
I've got to pay for it. Why don't you just use WordPress like everybody else? Anyway.
We could. We could go to WordPress. I'm not against that. I just kind of like the way Squarespace looks.
Okay. So. But what if our podcast is a round peg? Would it fit in a square space?
Ha ha. Ha ha. That's awesome.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Anyway.
So, something did happen today that's worth talking about.
What?
We lost. Lost David Carradine, 72-year-old star of the TV series Kung Fu, and the main character in Kill Bill, i.e., Bill, was found dead in a hotel room in Bangkok. And it, apparently there's some question.
His cock too much.
There's some question as to whether or not it was self-imposed or if it was somebody who actually killed him. He was hanging in a closet or something like that. And there's some question about that. I don't think he had any tendency to want to to commit suicide.
Well,
I mean, he's kind of. I would think he was rolling in the dough and doing well for himself.
Yeah,
kind of had a second coming with the Kill Bill stuff.
Right. What was he doing in Bangkok, though? Not that normal for Americans to go there.
True.
Yeah.
That also could have been random.
Yeah.
Anyway. Kind of sad that we lost him.
Yeah. That was something I just discovered, but apparently it's a type of video that was being passed around on Twitter and stuff. People were passing around this particular video. And then it turns out there's a lot of related ones that go back a couple of years. So the concept is older than I thought. But people are taking famous music videos and they're taking the video portion only and then getting their own singer and their own band to record the soundtrack with something that sounds exactly the same. You know, a singer that sounds the same, band that sounds the same. But then they change the lyrics so that it describes exactly what's going on in the music video.
Right.
You know how music videos, the pictures often have absolutely nothing to do with the song.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of people floating by, I think crazy things going by. Yeah, so anyway, so it's a total eclipse of the heart is the one I first heard of, but then if you look around the related ones, you'll find a lot of them. I just look for literal video versions of songs. And I'll post Total Eclipse of the Heart literal video.
Yeah, it's
very
funny. For those who grew up in the 80s, this is a very funny remake. Or
but it's not just that one. I mean, you can go to more modern songs you're familiar with, but you'll probably find a literal video version of it.
Hmm.
Yeah. But that one's particularly well done because the singer really does sound like the official singer.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. The Billy Idol one was also good.
One of them had very bad... One of them was very distorted. Like, it sounded okay, but...
Oh, really?
I forgot which one. I was just playing some of them. Some of the related ones. And, yeah, one of them was okay, except the sound production was really bad. Yeah.
So the official release date for Windows 7 is October 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still running one on a virtual machine. I don't do anything with it.
So Microsoft is calling it General Availability.
Okay.
GA.
Hmm.
And let's see here. It's going to have Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2.
Okay.
Ready by the holidays.
I really need to switch over. I'm still running Windows Server 2003.
Oh, really?
I really need to switch one of these days. The problem is I can't just update because I have a 32-bit server, and for all the new stuff, they really want you to have a 64-bit machine.
Oh.
So I can't just reinstall it. I can't just reinstall it on top of itself because they have to switch CPUs and everything at the same time. So I should really bother to do that already.
So I got another Computer History Daily quote.
Sorry?
This is something you'll be particularly interested in.
Uh-huh.
The first commercial mobile telephone service begins in June 1946.
Okay.
A driver in St. Louis, Missouri, uses a handset from under his car's dashboard to place the world's first mobile telephone call.
Through the phone company. I bet ham radio operators may well have been doing it earlier or something. But.
A team from Bell Labs works for more than a decade to develop the service.
Don't forget the...
By 1948...
No, it's not Carter phone. Don't forget that. Anyway.
By 1948, mobile telephone service is available in almost 100 cities and 30,000 calls are being made each week.
Is that
1948? Jeez, man.
That's the UMTS. That's one called UMTS or something?
I remember
before you, cellular, there's, I think it's called UMTS.
Okay.
Before cellular, the one you could dial yourself.
Okay.
And this may be even older than that, but there was a generation where car cell phones were kind of really big, like the big bag kind of thing, or you would fill up a trunk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And your handset had a dial, an actual turning dial.
Okay.
And, or you would talk to an operator or something. So it might be that era.
Wow.
So it's not the Carter from
old. 46.
I can't remember the name of it, but one of the very important cases in telephony law that ended up leading to the breakup of the Bell system and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, cases about that you were allowed to use certain types of equipment you owned yourself.
Okay.
And one of those very early ones was something that you would carry, you know, for business people to carry on their truck, where they could connect the telephone line to their radio in the truck, but via an acoustic coupler or something. That's how they were getting around the laws. But the phone company wouldn't even allow devices that would just acoustically connect to your handset. The phone company was fighting that. So,
jeez. Okay.
So I forget if that's the Carter phone case or not. I think so. Was for the right to have something like that to make your own mobile phone, kind of like with your own equipment.
You'll have to look that up.
I forget the date of that.
You'll have to look that up and put it on the on the show notes, because
it's very famous. But
okay,
and I think it has to do with telephony in a truck or stuff. But anyway,
cool. I had no idea when that started in 46.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I bet organized UMTS was dialing it yourself and stuff like that. I bet that was newer, but I don't remember. So I bet this old one would have been an operator. Kind of like the way boats might still be. I don't even know whether boats dial on their own now, or whether they still go through operators.
Okay.
Because boat phones forever, and maybe still today, are really just a two-way radio.
Mm-hmm.
And you just talk to an operator on the shore who connects you through.
Oh,
thank you. Okay. It's hot.
They're hot?
Yeah. I bet that early one, I bet you had to talk to an operator and just really just had a radio, you know, just a two-way radio in your car that wouldn't really have that much to do with a telephone. Another one, an operator would connect you through. And then ham telephone operators have been making called the phone patch for a very long time, where they would make their own cell phone out of just, you know, ham radio, the walk ham rock-a-talkies and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know when that started.
My next story is about Adobe announcing the availability of their first beta release of Flash Catalyst.
What is that one?
It's a new design tool that aims to accelerate the development of rich user interfaces. So it's basically a Flash enhancement.
It's a tool that basically... No one wants that stuff.
Well, it's a tool that lets you build Flash code fairly easily. It's kind of like... I'm guessing, having not played with this myself, I'm guessing that it's similar to Swish in that they take a subset of the total commands that you have available to you in Flash and they wrapped around another user interface that makes this subset of commands a lot easier to work with for the average person.
Who wants it? The average person probably would rather have just regular HTML web pages and not have all that stuff.
No, I don't know. I mean, The day of the simple web design, I think, is going away very, very quickly. I mean,
is that the public wants it to, or the developers are bored and want to do it?
I think that the trend is that as more and more people become more aware and actively use the internet, and they go to various different websites where they've had professional designs created for these companies, people tend to want to. That sort of raises the bar for their own personal sites.
But you can keep it in pure HTML and CSS, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But have very good graphics design and make it look good and make it act the way you want. I can hate all that stuff. I forget the name of it. You know those things where they'll pop up a box and the background dims and all that stuff?
JavaScript?
That's all that with JavaScript, with fancy JavaScript, I know. But I just don't like that stuff because it's just a little bit buggy. It's just would be better not to do that. It doesn't work on cell phones very well.
Yeah, but I think people want that. And I think...
But do they? Do people really want that? What? I don't know why.
I think so. And I think it's only because most of the sites have things like this, even though they're buggy. Right. And Flash is still not dead. Flash is still very much used. It's easy if you know how to build Flash sites. Right. It's still very popular and has a lot of animation. It's a fairly
for certain
true
types
technology.
Of things. Yeah. I noticed there are certain types of things, but just for the average business page, just to get information and stuff, I think all those fancy things get in the way. Just plain old HTML and CSS are just fine. JavaScript.
Some might argue that it's easier to build a site in pure Flash than it is to even do a single bit of HTML.
That may be true, but it just limits, just acts funny, and it limits what platform you can access it on. And stuff,
It is not universal. I mean, I wish Apple would get off the butt, and actually do a Flash player.
What if they will in 3.0? What if they secretly will in 3.0?
You're creepy.
I don't know.
Or maybe that's one of the reasons for adding memory if they do to the new iPhone is, you know, I don't mean the extra 16 gigabytes of storage. I mean an extra hundreds of megabytes or whatever of actual program memory.
Yeah.
What if that would be one of the reasons to be able to handle Flash?
Yeah, and multitasking is probably the big reason.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So I'll put a link in the show notes so that you can check out that beta.
Right.
See if it's any good.
Okay. But it'll be only for developers at this point, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Let's see, I have articles about the pre. I don't really care. Until I see one myself, I don't care. Oh, San Francisco is the first city to let you request city services via Twitter, where they have a Twitter account, and you can send your city service request in through Twitter instead of calling them on the phone or sending an email. That's really important, you know.
How would they know who you are?
Because they have to follow you back. You know, because you send a direct message so they can see where it's coming from and stuff.
Yeah, okay, all right.
And they want you to register them in advance, but the only reason, it's really stupid. You're free to ignore their special software and just simply follow them, but apparently it won't automatically follow you back unless you use their special software. So they want you to go to a special URL that then does a pop-up warning you. You have to be logged into Twitter already, and then it does a pop-up warning you that you're going to run an application that's going to take over your Twitter account and give commands in your name.
What?
So I said, I don't want to do that. All we're going to do is follow you. What do I need that for?
Right.
So I follow them and wait a few minutes. They never followed back. And I finally decided, okay, I'll risk it. I'll follow their instructions. So I ran their software, which told me that I was being followed, and then immediately after that, they followed me back. So I don't know what that's all about, why they couldn't just have something that automatically follows me back and not use their stupid special software.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the way they do it. But I say,
is this
but now
sort of verification that you are indeed. Like,
I don't know.
Not a bot or something, or
I guess no, because it just has to be logged. Well, maybe a bot could probably do it. But now I can report things to the city of San Francisco so much easier than the old way of having done it.
Call
them up, yeah. So anyway, and it does say if you give some examples, and it says some of the examples. If your request gets complicated, you might be better off calling because you only have 140 characters for Twitter.
Right, yeah. So that means, of course, Mark, that they've hired people to actually receive all the Twitters or do something with the Twitters.
They'll probably just make the phone call and call in the regular system or something. I bet they just get typed in the regular system as though you had called.
That means there's 14-year-old kids walking around the city of San Francisco with their iPhone receiving these Twitters representing the government.
It doesn't have to be 14, but something.
Yeah.
No, maybe one or two of the regular operators are handling it who would normally answer the phone line, I guess.
I think they're all 14.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that would be violate child labor laws. You can always sell maps to Stars Home if you're 14. Anyway. It was just interesting because that's San Francisco is doing that. They claim they're the first city doing that. Other than that, it's not really interesting at all. Right?
That's kind of cool. All right, another Computer History Daily quote.
Okay.
Gary McKinnon, described as the world's biggest computer hacker, is arrested in June of 2005. The unemployed computer engineer is accused of causing $1 billion damage by breaking into the most secure computers at the Pentagon and NASA.
How does that cost them anyway? How does that do damage
first of all,
money?
What is the world's biggest computer hacker? Anyway, McKinnon allegedly breaks into the networks from his home computer to try to prove his theory that the United States is covering up the existence of UFOs.
Okay, maybe he is a UFO. Because it makes you... It makes it sound like he's an idiot, and therefore confirms your belief that there are no UFOs. So maybe it's really an alien who's doing that. And the reason they're big is that they're an alien, so they're like 20 feet big or something. And,
well, you know, aliens. I've never heard of him. He's not the world's, like, you know, best hacker.
Well, actually, he might be. If you never heard of him, that's a good thing.
He's the world's biggest hacker, which means he eats.
He might be really fat. No, but if he's the world's best hacker, you might well have never heard of him because he's able to hide himself. You know,
he got caught by the government.
But these billions of dollars of damage and stuff are all ridiculous. You have to look at what accounting tricks they're playing when they come up with that. There won't be any justification for that whatsoever. For those numbers.
Yeah.
And it may have just been a totally insecure system that anyone could have broken into, for all you
right.
know. You really have to see the details.
All right, my last story, or do you want to go?
Well, Microsoft, Google 411? Okay, Microsoft came out with Bing.
Right.
Bing is not Google.
Bing.
As they renamed live.com and called it bing.com and had some little features, they claim it's so much better now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Say it again.
So,
say it again, Mark.
Bing.
Bing.
And then, one of the things about Bing is they change the picture every day.
Uh-huh.
Didn't Live do the same thing? When you went into Live Search, wasn't there a picture in the background or something that would change every day? I forget.
Maybe.
Because it seemed familiar, and Bing is doing that.
Okay.
That you get a pretty picture of something. Looks like kind of like the background pictures that come with Windows or something. Like that kind of picture.
Oh, God.
And then it just has a long break in the middle of the picture where you type in your search term and some other links floating around. And the picture today has some little squares. If you watch it for a while, these little squares light up in different places. And if you get curious, move your mouse over one of them, they'll tell you little stories about people using the internet or something. If you click on those little squares that kind of light up. I don't know, I didn't play with it that much. Anyway, that's Bing.com.
Bing.
So to further compete with Google, Google has Goog 411, where you get a lot of information on the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Bing came up with, what's the exact phone number? 1-800-BING-411. Microsoft now has that number, so you can do internet sorts of searches by voice. But I think, I haven't actually called it to verify my theory. I think it's actually Tell Me. What was the phone number of Tell Me? I forget. Go to tellme.com.
Wait, 1-800-555-1212.
No, Tell. Was it 555 Tell or something? Well, I grant you, the 800 information is contracts with Tell Me, and
yes,
it's answered that way.
That's
but Tell Me also has their own phone numbers, though. Tell Me has an independent set of phone numbers of their own.
Okay.
And Microsoft bought Tell Me, so I think this Bing 411 is probably just the old Tell Me with a new phone number. Because it kind of sounds like it.
Yeah.
I didn't call it yet, but
Thank you.
Features it says are available on it.
Do you want to deliver us to go?
No, that's okay. Yep.
Any coffee or dessert for you guys today?
Mine comes with dessert, doesn't it, or something?
Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes with either bread pudding, banana pudding, ice cream, or chocolate brownie.
Oh, banana pudding.
Banana pudding?
Yeah.
Any dessert for you?
No.
Good.
I'm good.
So I say what they're claiming that Bing 411 is able to do sounds exactly what Tell Me has always done.
Okay.
So I say Bing doesn't really seem to be that much new. It seems to be they just renamed Tell Me and renamed Live Search and what. They did add some features. If you do a search of Bing, you do get some extras, but I don't know. They just never seemed all that important in practice today.
Is Microsoft slipping?
Well, my claim has always been since Bill Gates left or stopped paying attention, once he started building his house and stuff like that, and building his own, what's the name of his photo sales thing?
Oh, he's doing the philanthropy thing.
Yeah, but also he has another business he runs where he sells photographs, leases licenses on photographs and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty big. I'll think of the name in a second. But one of the biggest places, if you want a photograph for your brochure or for your website and something, you want to be totally legal about it, there are certain places that will sell you photos that are in copyright, but for a fixed price, they'll give you a license to use it for your project, whatever it is.
Okay.
So Bill Gates owns one of the largest ones of those companies. So once he started building his house, doing the philanthropy, running that company, how much time would he possibly have to spend at Microsoft anyway, even before he officially resigned? So I think Microsoft started going downhill at the point he got diverted, and his attention got diverted and all that stuff.
I think I remember this. I think I worked for I worked for a company that actually used their...
No,
they had stock images as well.
Yes, exactly.
And, and they had a an application they were selling to various different companies. It was like a digital asset management web-based.
So they wanted to use full.
It was in the cloud. It was they ran all the servers for it. Okay. Although they could sell you the application to run on your own servers if you really wanted to.
And they bought pictures from this service they licensed?
Well, you could either not use their pictures and just upload your own.
Okay.
Or you could have access to some of their image catalog, image libraries.
Anyway, if I don't think of the name of it right now, look at the slurpcast.com entry for this show, and I'll certainly think of it by then and have a link to that photo
and
service.
I can find it too.
Yeah. But my point is that Bill Gates' attention was diverted away from Microsoft many years ago. And I think that's kind of my impression is when Microsoft started going downhill, because I think he was very important and as the chief architect and keeping it all together and stuff.
Okay.
And,
yeah. Well, we're nearing the end of the show.
What?
Yes.
You know, you always say that. Okay, so I have 10 more items. You always say that. I always ignore you. But
yeah, he does. No, okay. Mark just ignores me.
That one's not important. Let me see if I have anything important. That's not important. We haven't done the comedy segment of Can Your BlackBerry Do That? We haven't done that.
The answer is no.
Okay. So I don't have to say anything? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm very unhappy. I'm very unhappy with the App Store.
On the BlackBerry?
Yeah.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, they seem to be only wanting to put apps. They only want to put apps up there that are going to make money.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of the free apps.
But there's still, you can still.
There are tons of free apps just not available on the App Store.
Yep, okay.
So that sucks. That's horrible. But whereas, like, in Apple's case, yes, there's really good apps.
There's 40,000 apps that are all the same.
Well, okay,
they're getting really boring lately.
Really?
I mean, because of that 40,000 or so they're up to, maybe 1,000 of them are just electronic books, where instead of having a book reader app and 1,000 books to buy, they have each book is its own separate app, and you install it as a separate app and all that.
Yeah.
So probably there's 1,000 apps that are of the category books that really aren't apps, they're really just books. And then there's, 20 or 30 fart apps, abominable apps.
The same thing was happening for a while with podcasts. Like, you download an application that all it would do would be to play the latest
that
podcast.
One, yeah.
Yeah, but it was an application.
Right.
And who cares? You could subscribe to that in iTunes, and it would automatically download the file to your machine. You didn't need to have an application for it.
That's also true. Yeah, for RSS feeds, there's an awful lot of applications that are really just one RSS feed only, and that's all the application does is feed that one stream.
Yeah.
So those are real apps. It's hard to say how many real apps there are, but actually that unique and do anything useful. But let me at least do one. One, Can Your BlackBerry Do That?
Okay.
They've got some saved. Okay, you know how if you're a witness to a crime or something, you might go to a police sketch artist and describe the criminal, and the artist will kind of draw some pictures of what you're trying to describe. And, and there's this has always been software where you can do that yourself.
Okay.
You could just draw a picture of people's faces and stuff by various sketch artist software to run different platforms.
Uh-huh.
So on the iPhone, that it does exist. But the iPhone has one called Alien Sketch Artist, where if you see an alien, there's all kinds of features of what the face looks like, how big the alien's nose is, if it has one, how big the alien's eyes are, how many eyes it has, stuff like that. So you can come up with a sketch of the alien, the report,
Okay.
And I bet your BlackBerry can't do that.
That's probably true.
And does your BlackBerry have a meat clock?
A meat clock?
M-E-A-T?
No.
Yeah, where it shows a digital clock made out of pieces of meat? No, you can't do that. See? So again, this week, again, the iPhone is still superior to the BlackBerry.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
I love that.
Okay, so anyway, now we're supposed to do serious iPhone apps of the week.
Like that one.
I have that. No, I told you that one.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am you are the reason why I have this.
Yeah, I know. I like that one.
Yeah.
So what else? What else do I have that's good? I like the moron test, and there's a new one this week called some synonym of moron. I forget. I'm not sure if it's the same company or not, but anyway, those things are kind of funny. This is a test where the instructions seem very simple, and everything seems very simple.
Yeah.
But there's a little trick. So as you try to, as you press buttons and try to do it, you'll miss every once in a while. It'll take you a while to figure out why, but you definitely did not follow the instructions.
Okay. Those are cool. Is that like an application?
Yeah. This one, the one I have is called the moron test.
Okay.
And I saw one very recently called the something else test. Similarly.
All right.
Real kind of useful. There's so few useful ones, you know. But, there's a jailbreak. Those are...
I've been into the games recently.
Yeah, okay.
One of my applications that I'm going to bring up, I've actually talked about this before, but it's worth talking about again, because they actually added a huge... Well, they added three more levels of maps. This game is called... What's it called, Wes? It's called Flight Control. And
oh, is that the air traffic? That's
the air traffic control simulator.
Yeah, people like that a lot. People on Twitter talk about that a lot.
Yeah, this is a very, very... They've just added a couple more maps. So let me go back to the menu here. I was actually in the middle of the game. But the airfields, they have actually three different airfields now. They've got the standard airfield, which is the one that came with the game first.
Okay.
And then now they have Hawaii and Battleship.
Okay.
So there's a total of three different levels. This is a game where basically, like the old air traffic controlling games, you have to basically draw a path from the plane that's coming in for a landing to the runway that matches the color of the plane. And then the plane will follow that path that you've drawn. And then other planes will come into view that you have to then touch and draw a path to the appropriate runway as well. They cannot connect. They're all basically on the same altitude. So they cannot get close to each other. And if they run into each other, then the game's over.
Okay. And you get sued and arrested?
No, you get a tasty beverage.
Oh, okay. When you lose?
Yes.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it doesn't sound that exciting, but people seem to like it a lot.
No, it is. It's actually very frustrating because it's hard from the beginning.
Right.
So it's not like it starts out fairly easy, but then almost immediately it gets very complex.
Why does have a machine do it? If all you have to do is look at the color of the planes and draw lines and stuff, machines can do that pretty well.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to write into the developer.
Right.
Can you have an autopilot mode, please?
Yeah, they should. That's not important. What do I have? Did I mention Arcade Bowl? That's another game, but
no.
I like the game Arcade Bowl, except it's kind of buggy and hard to get it to actually start successfully.
Okay.
But it's like Ski Ball. It's like the arcade game Ski Ball, but a very fancy modern version of it with very nice graphics and stuff.
Huh. So when you get updates, do you actually look at the individual updates?
If it's a program I care about, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
But other than that, do you just say update all?
I always update all, but I will typically look at most of them and see what they are.
Okay.
If the application is still on my phone, I probably care about it enough to want to know what it is.
Okay.
Let's see. What have I not talked about already? I talked about that. Quick Office is kind of good. Quick Office can be useful for the right person. If you're in business and you use Microsoft Office a lot, because Quick Office will let you synchronize and run documents like Excel spreadsheets and Word documents, stuff like that. It's quite compatible with desktop PC versions of Microsoft Office files.
Okay.
And you can upload and download files between your PC and Quick Office's storage space. And then I say you can open the documents fairly meaningfully and edit them.
Huh.
You can create a spreadsheet that will run in Excel on the PC and can enter your own formulas and stuff like that.
So you're literally uploading your documents from your PC to their website?
No, this, no, to the iPhone.
Oh.
You're uploading the documents through a... You set up a Wi-Fi, you set up an FTP site on the iPhone.
Oh, I see.
Or actually, no, it's not even FTP. It does it through...
Bonjour?
Well, it uses Bonjour to find it, and then it uses...
WebDAV?
WebDAV, yeah. It uses WebDAV kind of stuff to let you copy files back and forth.
Okay.
It may not be WebDAV itself, but it's that sort of thing. So, yeah, you can copy files back and forth. Then once the file is on the iPhone... The point is that you can open it successfully, and it's pretty compatible with all this stuff.
What's the difference between Samba and WebDAV?
Which one? Samba?
Samba?
Well, Samba is the Linux method. It's not really...
It's a way of like letting Linux and other platforms use
a Windows network. Use a Windows-style network.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Whereas WebDAV is a way of transferring, of opening a folder across the internet that might be completely radically different technology, but it's kind of folder and file oriented, or maybe they're not different, I don't know. Whereas WebDAV, I always thought of Samba as being the equivalent of Windows networking and just letting a machine join the Windows network.
It's the same as what WebDAV is. I know more about Samba.
No, but WebDAV can work over a web server. Like, for example, you can, from Windows, you can open a folder that's on a web server.
Okay.
And you're not in any Windows networking technology attached to it, but you can open a folder on a web server as though it were a Windows networking thing.
Oh, I see.
So
right.
It's different.
Okay.
Kind of the same purpose in a way, but I think it's kind of...
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so anyway. I guess that's all.
That's it for me.
We're supposed to rate the restaurant.
Yeah.
So I've eaten here before fairly regularly, but like 20 years ago or something.
Okay.
No, yeah, it seems the same. It's good quality barbecue.
Yeah, that was pretty good. The links are different than what I'm used to, but
right.
There were plenty of them.
Did we didn't ask for how hot a sauce we wanted, did we? Or
no.
I didn't mention it.
No, I didn't either. They have sauces at the table that you can choose from if you don't like what the chef delivers.
Right.
No, pretty good. The price is reasonable for what we had.
Uh-huh. I got a free dessert.
Mine was more expensive than yours. I paid mine was $13.49. Yours was $7.99.
But I only had three half links, though.
Well, that's true.
You probably had a lot more.
You had tea at $2.49, and
40 what cents?
Niner cents.
Okay.
And then my root beer float was $3.79.
Okay.
So total was $30.33. So.
Okay. Yeah, but I say, so mine, I only had three links, a little bit smaller on the sides.
Yeah.
But I got the free dessert.
Yes.
So, and mine was pretty cheap, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't bad.
Okay.
So, let's see. Will they take a bar cart?
No.
Oh.
No.
Yes.
So are we splitting it in half, or are you going to run your tip calculator?
Sure.
Or
sure.
Oh, for people in San Francisco, there won't be that many. For all of our listeners in San Francisco, I'm trying this month the experiment of using my TransLink card as a fast pass on Muni.
Uh-huh.
And so far it's successful, except they don't take it on the cable car, and they don't take it on BART. You can take BART rides within San Francisco using a Muni fast pass, but they will not take the TransLink card right now, but they will eventually.
So if we split it, it's $18.16
okay.
per person. That includes a $3 tip.
Okay.
So
sounds
per
good.
Person, total of $6 in tip.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
All right.
Using my Elvis card,
I should
really report to the Elvis. Using my Elvis sightings application, I should really report that.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
I've seen Elvis. Every time you go out for dinner, you can say I've seen him.
Right.
Awesome. So we got wet napkins, which is a sign of a good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to walk all the way back to the BART station.
Albert did not approve those.
What? Of the wet naps?
Yeah.
Would he have?
No, he didn't. No, he absolutely did not. Because all it's
good. Do you want to do half and half?
Yeah, half and half.
Yeah.
No, he absolutely did not. I'm not speculating. He would definitely announce that he did not like them. Because all they, since you don't have running water,
right.
All they do is move the dirt around, and the dirt ends up on your hands. It's just been moved around.
It's like Purell, same thing.
Yeah,
just press it down.
Exactly.
Nice.
But Purell, I think, peels off. The secret of Purell, I think, is that it makes the dirt coagulate a little bit, then it kind of flakes off later.
Okay.
So I think it might actually be something.
Did you use your wet nap?
I did.
Okay. And
hours ago.
Anyway. All right. So that's it for the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. And don't forget
Slurpcast.
To come to the blog, www.slurpcast.com.
Good. I'm not eating my cookies.
I'll post this up with very little editing.
I'm not eating my cookies.
You gotta eat your cookies. You can either eat them or toss them.
Excuse me, would you like me to toss you a cookie?
I gotta toss my cookies, Ken. Uh-huh.
Yeah, would you like me to receive them?
Alright. Okay, thanks for listening, guys. Yeah.